Blog Talk Radio.
What's going on, everybody? I'd like to welcome you all to another episode of It's Real. I'm your host, Tay Real. Got my co-host, Nizzy May, with me.
What's up, everybody?
What's good, people? So we had another interesting show last night for those of you who listened, who heard our show last night. What was our show last night about curves, right? Why men love curves. And had a lot of technical difficulties, so definitely want to open up by saying, you know, definitely our apologies to anybody that's been following us and, you know, was trying to get into the show but couldn't really, because there was a lot of crazy stuff going on. Like, we had all types of technical difficulties, but we definitely on top of it. So, you know, we definitely just want to make a note of that. You know, we definitely got y'all. We professionals. Like, we don't do that, you know. So had some technical difficulties, but we are back on track. Everything should be good. Just got finished getting linked on by Nizzy May before the show started. But nonetheless, here we are. And Nizzy May, you got the stage.
I have the stage first.
Yeah.
Oh,
wow.
Oh, wow. Well,
Nizzy got something to tell the people.
Yeah, just recently we had a show about gay pride. You know, we touched on, you know, lesbians, bisexuals, and all that. Well, I had a little situation last night where my homeboy that I have known for about since we were 12 years old, and he just recently came out and just said, you know, he was bi. I mean, it was like a
That's
big...
crazy, man. Crazy.
So it was a big shock to me. Like, it wasn't the fact that he was bi, it's the way he did it. It was just like, he was just came out of just anger and just said, yes, I'm bi. You know, out of the blue, and I'm just like, oh my goodness. Because I never expected it from him. Like, I really didn't see the signs at first until, you know, I sat back and really thought about it. Like, yeah, he's on a little strange tip. He is a little strange at times. You know, he don't say what's good or hey, what's up. He says, hey, girl. You know, stuff like that. He says stuff like that. So I didn't catch on until he just, like, mentioned it. Like, he just came out and said it. I was like, wow. And then to find out, you know, he's a cop and he's been with God, I was just, like, blown away. You know, I had my own little personal experiences and all that, so I guess we could relate to each other. And I don't want to judge him at all, and I just want to be that friend that he can lean on, because he's just now coming out with it. Like, he's just not many people know, and you could tell the way he approached me with it that he was embarrassed. He just came, I don't even think he would have really said anything to me, because he's still not really open with it.
And there was just a random comment out of nowhere. He's just like, yes, I'm gay. And he's like, what are you talking about? Like, huh? Like, what? Like,
yeah.
Just out of nowhere. Not like y'all were arguing and one thing led to another. He's like, okay, I'm gay. That's why. Like, it wasn't like that.
No, it was just like, he was just like, yes, I'm bi. like he said it as if somebody already had told me.
Right, like you accused him of it or something.
Yeah. So it was just weird. I guess he felt like somebody had told me that I know that he knew, and I guess he felt like she told me, because she told me a lot of other things. So I guess he just figured that she already told me, so he just went ahead and just, you know, admitted to it, which is, you know, is. it really is a brave thing to do because, you know, not many people will admit to it. You know, a lot of people stay in the closet, and that's how they want to be. They want to stay there. They're ashamed by their sexuality, so they just stay in the closet. Because I know how hard that was. Because it was hard for me. And then I witnessed another friend go through the same situation where it was hard for her, too. But with her, I seen it. Like, I expected it from her. Like, I could see it all. Like, I knew she felt, you know, she felt some type of way about the same sex. I knew she was into females. Like, honestly, it fit her more perfect than anything. When she was with a female, it's just like, it fit her. No lie. It was like, seeing her with a man was very awkward. I mean, she ended up marrying a guy. And she had been with females for so long. And all of a sudden, she was just like, she married a guy. And it was just really awkward. I didn't accept that. I accepted her being with a female more than her being with a guy. Because it just really didn't fit well with her. Like, it just didn't look right to me. She's just one of them females that when you see her with a female, it just fits her. So I've dealt with that situation before, but I guess it was like a little different because it was a guy. I don't know why. It just felt a little different because it was a guy. And I've never really experienced a guy that I was really close to that came out like that. Associates is different. Okay, you're gay. Okay. But when you're close to somebody and you know for so long and you didn't even see the signs there in front, it's hard to grasp one. I couldn't believe it. I was shocked. I was stunned. I'm still stunned today. Could not believe it. It was, wow.
It's always a lot more pressure on the guy because it's not as accepted by men as it is by women. So a woman can have a gay friend and it's cool. Guys, they like really most straight guys despise of gay men, and they don't condone it. So it's a lot more pressure.
But when you think of a man, you think of this big, strong man, a man, you know. And then you see a man that wants to be with another man. It just don't. For some people, it just don't fit right. Like, it's just a little more awkward than seeing two females together. But more people are more accepting of two females than two men. So, as far as why he hasn't really, you know, been with too many others, because, you know, he really doesn't want nobody to really know about it. He wants to keep that as personal as possible. Keep it closed in to where everybody, because, I mean, when he was younger, he got made fun of. He was one of them guys that always got made fun of, no matter what.
And a lot of times they end up being the ones. Let me ask you a question. Did he ever, like, press up on you? Like, did he ever be like, you know, try to get his feels on or try to make a move on you?
Ever since we was 12.
So that's the crazy part. So he tried his hand with you on more than one occasion. So you had no reason to question his sexuality.
Right. Like even to this day, I guess he still has some type of feeling for me. So I never thought, and then I know the females that he used to, you know, mess with and all that. So it never really came to mind that he was that way. It was just I can't even picture it. Like, I could not even picture it in my head seeing him with another guy. Like, some men, you just know, like, yeah. some men you just really, really know. But he's just, I don't know, he's just that type of guy that you just would not see it from.
Right. I mean, I just commend you to, you know, and being a good friend and not being judgmental and still being his friend, because people be needing that. Like, people need that support. He came out for a reason. He reached out to you for a reason. It was random out of nowhere. Yes, I'm gay. That means that he's been wanting to tell somebody for so long. He's been bottling it in, and he felt comfortable enough with you to let it out. And you responding in a way that you understand, you're not going to judge him, probably means everything, because a lot of times for a man to come out like that, they don't have that same support that a woman would have, because, and I mean, people are biased towards gay females too, but let's face it, it's a lot worse towards men. I mean, because you got men that don't condone of it, and then women look at you like, ew, you gay, ew, you know? And so now the women that you tell don't really, once they know, they don't really look at you, that they don't give you that same female attention, because just because he's gay, that means he's bi. Like, you say he has a girlfriend. So he isn't straight gay, he's like actually bi. So he still likes women. So I'm sure as a man,
yeah,
he still wants to feel like wanted by a woman too. And just knowing you're judged that way can just really do a ton of damage psychologically. So for you to, like, you know, be understanding, not judge him, and still, you know, be able to talk to him about it, I'm sure it means a lot. So I definitely commend you for that. And people just need more friends like that that's going to not judge them. Because, you know, we live in a judgmental society.
Mm-hmm.
Everything is about being judged. If you don't look like this, talk like this, walk and act like that, then you're different and you're not accepted. Like, that's the type of society we live in. So people need to start stepping up. And props to you for stepping up for your friend and, you know, being the shoulder that he can lean on and not judging him. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So with that being said, tonight's show is Life After Death. Life,
oh, you're not going to share
death.
Your story?
I was, but, you know, let me just go into Life After Death. I mean, basically, to sum up what I was going to get into, basically, like I was saying, the whole thing about being in a judgmental society and people, like, held to a certain standard, and then, like, basically, my thing is just, like, don't like, judge people and treat people equally. And, like, if you got good things going for yourself, that's cool. That's great. That's magnificent. Don't look down on other people because you're doing good. If anything, encourage other people. I know of people, and people know who they are. I don't need the name drop. I'm not going to give people the satisfaction of name dropping, but people know who they are. People need to eat some humble pie. They do. They just need to get their act together. You know, people are just have themselves on this pedestal, and they just look down on people like they're sitting on a throne. It's like, we're all equal. You know, like, encourage people. That's the problem with society now. You know, and it's just certain people that I just really don't condone the way they act and the way they treat people, including me. You know, like, if you're doing good for yourself, that's good. That's great. Don't let that affect how you treat me and how you treat others, you know, because now that makes you a jackass. And why would you want to be a jackass? You could be a cool person that's doing your thing, handling your business. If you're handling your business, that's great. If you're in college, that's great. If you got your own house and you got your mortgage going and, you know, your own car and, you know, good financial situation, that's great. You got a master's degree, PhD, whatever. That's great. That's wonderful. Don't allow that to affect how you treat other people, because regardless, I don't care if you're a teacher, you're a nurse, you're RN, you're a doctor, dentist, a psychologist, I don't care what your profession is. Like, if you're gonna allow that to affect how you treat people, then you're no better than that drug dealer that's affecting the community. You're just affecting them mentally, you know. You might not be affecting them physically by causing harm by giving out drugs and stuff like that, but mentally you are a drug because your attitude towards people can affect them psychologically. That can last a lifetime. You understand what I'm saying, Nizine? So I don't like when people are jackasses. People need to eat some humble pie. Some people just need a whole pie just slapped in their face, like how the clowns do. Just throw the whole humble pie in their face. Just the whole thing. Because that's just my thing. You know, don't even get me started, Nizine. You know I'll be all day with that. See, that's why I didn't want to start, because you know you can't get me started. You know I do not like people that are not humble. My last words, people, let's just be humble. Let's not be jackasses. Let's treat each other equally and just look out for one another and encourage one another and everything will be good. And that's the most satisfaction that these people who know who they are going to get from me tonight. Now, our show tonight is Life After Death. And we spoke on this on, like, you know, several occasions. We had a show about, like, ghosts or paranormal activity. This is a little different. It's like it's related, but, you know, the paranormal activity was really based on, like, experiences that you've had that was seen, like, ghostly type of thing. But this is just, like, life after death. Like, how do you feel? Like, what do you think? Let's start off with that. What do you think, Nizine? What do you think happens when you die? What's your guess? What's your assumption?
Oh. What happens after we die? I just think that our bodies leave the world, but our spirits don't. Like, our spirits are still here with us. Our bodies are up in, like, heaven. If anybody, I believe in God. But I believe our bodies are, like, up in heaven, and our spirits are still here with us. That's why, you know, a lot of people, like, experience ghosts and all that, because their spirits are still here with us. I don't think that people actually really, really die, just our bodies, but the spirits still live on with us.
So you think their souls still live on?
Yeah, I do. I honestly do. What about you? How you feel about it?
Well, I was raised under the Christian faith. As I got older, I started to consider myself more of a spiritual person than a religious person. However, that does not affect my belief, which is I believe in God. I definitely believe in God. I feel like, you know, there's no way that this just magically happened by itself. It had to be a higher power that allowed this to happen. Now, I definitely was brought up. I used to have Bible study classes, and I've been to church many a times. I'm not going to sit here and lie and act like I go every Sunday, but I've been, you know, plenty of times. And it's always interesting / touchy with religion. People take their religion very serious, and a lot of people for religious beliefs believe what they believe. A lot of people for scientific beliefs believe what they believe. I kind of, you know, I stand in between. As I said, I consider myself to be spiritual, not religious, but I grasp information from both sides of the field, and I make up my own vision, my own visual of how things are and are to be. You know, the Bible speaks of many things, and a lot of those things actually have come true. And anybody who knows about the Bible will point out many of things that you'd be like, wow, that is happening, that did happen. So I think the Bible is a great tool and source, and a lot of things I agree with, but at the same time I kind of feel like, well, how do I want to put this? because I don't want to make it seem like that I don't, you know, support or, you know, really believe, you know, because I don't, like, some people are just like, oh, it's wrong. No, it's not that with me. It's just like I feel some of the things, but from the scientific point, I feel some things too, right? And I don't know. I just kind of, like I said, I just kind of think thoughts from both. And as far as, like, when you die, like, I do think that something happens. Like, you know how you always, they always say you see the white light and all that stuff? I can't say if it's a white light or not, you know. There are cases of people that actually passed away. And, you know, some people have died for 5, 10, 15, 20, 30 minutes. And they have all types of reports. You can get on YouTube and watch documentaries of people that are saying they died and they went to hell and all that stuff. Or, you know, they seen this, they seen that, you know, and God brought them back. Who's to say? I mean, who's to say? It could, you know, what reason do they have to lie?
I mean, do you believe in that? Do you think that God really does bring people back, though?
I think it's possible. I think it's possible. I really do think that, you know, that's possible. There's so many elements to look at, like, because a lot of times you have those types of the experiences that people say they've had when they have died and been brought back to life. A lot of people have those same experiences just when they sleep. They have the same experiences. Like, you'll hear people talk about that in their dream. They went to hell, they went to heaven. They had an out-of-body experience. They seen their body laying down. Like, they seen their body asleep, and they was, like, floating over top of their own body. It was like, what's going on? I heard a guy on the bus one day talking about he came out of his body and seen himself laying there, you know? And, I mean, the only thing, who's to say? I mean, you're not in that person's mind. There's no way to dictate their line or not. But
right.
I definitely believe something happens. Like, you know, with science, I support a lot of things because, you know, the proof is in the pudding, right? But my problem with science is that they say Big Bang Theory, a bunch of nothing collided and created something. You know, now that's not their exact words, but that's pretty much what they're saying, like two points of, and I know I'm not all the way correct with this. I mean, the analogy, what I'm trying to tell you is pretty much what they say, but they probably use other words, a better way of explaining it. But two points of nothing collided and made something. That's my understanding of it. Like, it just came out of nowhere. Like, the universe is boom, boom, just appeared. Just like everything disappeared and it just happened. It just boom, Big Bang Theory. Just two points of nothing collided and created all this stuff. I support a lot of things about science, but when it comes to that, I've never been one to buy into the Big Bang Theory. And, you know, science really questions, like, they really don't buy into the religious aspect of things, like how people feel religiously that things came about. And to me, if you look at both of the two, I mean, it would make, you know, it makes more logical sense to me that a higher power created the things that we see that's beyond the earth that we don't understand versus two points of nothing collided and created something like it just appeared out of thin air. I don't know. What about you, Nivy Nay? How do you feel about it?
I don't know. I definitely believe, like, there is a higher power. That has to have been a higher power at some point that's doing all this. But, like, people, like leaving their body, and I don't know. I've had, like dreams like that, like, to the point where, like I was dreaming, but it felt like I was totally awake, and, like, I literally had an out-of-body experience where, like, I thought I was dead, and I thought I was leaving this world. Like, that's creepy. That is definitely. Have you ever had an out-of-body experience?
I've had all types of weird things. We spoke on Paranormal Activity, and I explained how I've been attacked in my sleep and woke up and felt like something was attacking me. I've had that experience. As far as, like, floating over sea in my body, I can't say for sure I recall having that one, but I've had all types of weird dreams, and a lot of times with me, I end up not remembering them. Like, after I gain consciousness, the first couple hours of my day, I tend to forget them as my day goes on. But I definitely had some weird dreams. I've had dreams of, like, you know, being shy and thrown off a building, all types of crazy stuff. And, like, you know how, like, you fall, and you ever had that dream where you fall in, and then right before you hit the ground, you wake up, or you hit the ground, and then you wake up. Like, I've actually, boom, like, I hit the ground, and I wake up, like, instantly, like,
I think everybody
just
had that dream.
Yeah, like, just that crazy type stuff. I have reason to believe that somehow, in some way, that we have yet to understand that the dreams, the way we dream world is, like, kind of related to afterlife. Because, like, people that pass away, I see them in my dreams. I, like, people,
no,
especially anybody I'm close to, I see them in my dreams. You know? And so, I think that it's very, very possible and even likely that the dream world has a bigger purpose than we comprehend right now. Like, I think it means more, and it could definitely be linked to possibly the afterlife or another parallel universe or something that is part of what happens after we leave this life. Like, so it's so many philosophies, there's so many thoughts, it's like, there's so many possibilities, and I think the biggest question in life is what happens after life. I don't think you can ask a bigger question, and I think mankind is obsessed with that thought. I think they're obsessed. I think mankind is obsessed with it. I think that's the reason why mankind wants to know where we came from and what happens after life. That's the reason why scientists are interested traveling.
Do you believe that we used to live like another life, like you lived in a past life?
You know
before?
What? Reincarnation? I'm not going to say I necessarily buy into it, but I'm not going to rule it out. Which, if I was a religious, that's why I say I'm spiritual, not religious, because if I were a religious person saying that, that would definitely make me a hypocrite. Because people of religious faith, and I don't know all of the religious faith, but I know, like, the main ones in America, which are, like, Christianity, Catholics, Jehovah's Witness, and Muslims. I don't think any of them believe in that. To my knowledge, to my understanding, I don't think any of the main religions in America believe in reincarnation. You are something in another life, and then now you're something in this life. Who's to say? My thing is, like, and that's where it becomes really challenging. You know, it becomes really challenging. So I would never shy away from, like, I would never say I don't believe in God anymore. I don't believe in a higher power no more because it's just too confusing. I don't understand what's going on. Some people feel like if I can't see the evidence right in front of my face, I don't believe it. My life has been horrible. How could there be a higher being and all this bad stuff is happening to me? And some people, but I think those people that think like that, people got, you know, people can believe what they believe. That's their prerogative. But I think a lot of people, like, you know, feel sorry for themselves, you know, and they feel victimized. They play a victim, and so it's just the world is horrible, and, I mean, the world can be horrible. That's, I mean, be realistic, but it's just like, oh, well, there's no way that can be anything positive about life, and there's no higher power or nothing because everything, all this horrible stuff has happened to me. But then people got to remember, horrible stuff happens to people every day, all the time. Everybody is victimized by horrible things at some point in their life, you know. So I think you should believe in something because let's just look at it like this, right? Okay, so you're looking at it like, okay, I don't have 100% proof that there's something beyond this life, but there's a high possibility, or a possibility at all, that there is, right? So uh-huh. there's a possibility, right, that there's an afterlife, then there's a possibility that there's a hell. And if that's the case, why would you not want to go to heaven? So why wouldn't you want to believe in something and have that possibility? Okay, so, you know, like in the insurance policy, okay, if, just in case there is a heaven or, you know, a place beyond Earth, I don't want to go to the place that I'm going to be tortured forever. So I want to, like, you know, do good and be positive and believe in something, so I'll go to that special place, that good place, you know? So, mm-hmm. I mean, even from that perspective, like, I think you should want to believe in something, because if you don't believe in nothing, and that's how it really works, the way it's stated in ink, then, I mean, you're setting yourself up for failure, you know?
Yeah.
It's always, always a very, very touchy topic. Like, it's very touchy. It's touchy to people that don't believe in higher powers. It's touchy with people that do, that people that are religious, you know? Like, it's always a touchy discussion. But that's why I'm spiritual. You know, I believe in a higher power, and I think we can. Because this is another thing, Nizzy Nay. Like, okay, so, all right, we're humans, right? And we know how it works. It takes a male and a female to mate to reproduce, right? And that's how babies come along, right? So babies don't magically crawl out of the water. Like, there's no way humanly possible that a human was just formed out of thin air, no higher power involved, it just happened. It just happened. It's just evolution. Just like the water was just on the ground, and there were like little crawling organisms that formed together and became a human baby. Get real. A human baby shouldn't last 10 seconds by itself without a mother, without something to care for it. Human babies like are amongst the most like fragile any forms of life in existence. Like, you know, you have animals that when they're born, and cubs and all that stuff, and they're like able to stand on their own too, more than a human baby. A human baby can't do anything by itself. Am I right, Missy Nay?
Yeah.
How can a human baby form? Oh, so it was an adult. Okay, so the first person on Earth was an adult that wasn't formed by a higher power, but just magically appeared. And it was already formed as an adult. It was just a complete grown man or grown woman. You know what I'm saying? Like, it doesn't make sense to me. Like, it had to be created by something higher, a higher power. Because, like, how can a human form out of thin air through evolution? How? Please. Like, if somebody listening and you think that's true, like, feel more than free to call. The number is 347-838-9540. Because, like, I want to hear this, because I'm a human being, God dang it, and I know how it works. You got to have a baby. You have to reproduce. You have to mate. You have to have sex. Like, how can a human form out of thin air unless it was by higher power?
I have no idea.
But so how can people be atheists then? How can you say there's no higher power, but humans just appeared here? How can you say we appeared through evolution? Like, it has to be something. So, as far as life after death, I think that it's something that does happen. I think it's something beyond all of this. I really, really do. I'm totally confident. Like, I'm totally confident that there is.
It has to be, because a lot of stuff is very unexplained. It has to be a higher power. Because
it's got to be something. That's how I feel.
Yeah. Most definitely.
And I just wonder, like, how people get, like, you know, people that live their lives just, like, ruthless. People that just rob, steal, kill, don't care about the world. They just do whatever. They don't care. It's just like, oh, life sucks anyway, whatever. Like, what is their viewpoint? Like, they can't believe in a higher power. Like, they can't even be spiritual. Like, what is their what is their philosophy like? Psychologically, what's going through their mind? Like, do they think that they're going to have to pay for their wrongdoing? Do they think that there is an afterlife, a heaven, a hell? Do they think they're going to make it to heaven?
Protecting
the community, shooting people, hurting people their whole lives.
Okay.
Like, do they think that? I'll be wondering, like, what do people that choose to live their life that way, like, how do they view life? Like, you know what I'm saying? What do they think about the afterlife?
I think some that live their life ruthless. I think they still, like, believe in God and a higher power. I think they still believe in that. Just because they live their life ruthless doesn't mean they don't believe in something or somebody just because of the way they live. Because, I mean, I have talked to some really ruthless people, and they do believe in something. Well, you know what? A lot of people that do live, like, ruthless, they're like Muslim. What is that? Allah? Is that what it's called?
Allah.
Their God?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
A lot of them
are the same thing, God.
Yeah,
God,
but it's
Allah,
like it's like a little different. It's a little different. Like the way they live their life and some things they believe. Like, you know, for instance, like, they don't eat pork or nothing like that.
Yeah. You know what? You know what's crazy? I think that, you know, like I told you, I used to do Bible study classes. And, like, I know that the Bible does speak of a number of things you're not supposed to eat. And I'm very confident that even the Christian faith, you know, because a lot of the Bibles are similar. A little things are different, but a lot of them are really similar, say a lot of the same things. And, I know pork. I'm pretty confident that pork is something that we're not supposed to eat. Like, even, I think the Holy Bible, like, I think a lot of them say that. Like, I think if you really look at it from a biblical standpoint, like, you're not supposed to eat pork. Like, the pig is a very filthy animal. And I remember it's like the Bible is very long. If you haven't read it, it's a very long book. There's a lot to it. And I remember it's like pages full of stuff that you're not supposed to eat. Like, it's like it's dirty. It's like it's blasphemous. Like, I know for a fact that I do remember because I was shocked. I was like, really? Like, wow. Like, you're not supposed to eat creatures of the sea other than fish. I do know that. I do know that. And this is the Holy Bible. The people that's listening, that's Christians, yeah, that Bible, the same Bible that you read, yeah. You're not supposed to eat crabs, lobster, anything that creepeth upon the earth, you're not supposed to eat. So anything that, like, you know, crawls, like, anything that creeps, like, you know, reptiles, and you're not supposed to eat stuff like snakes and lizards. And you're not supposed to eat stuff like crabs, lobsters, shrimps, none of that stuff. It said it's unclean, it's unholy. I'm not a Bible scholar or nothing, but I have read the Bible, I have Bible study classes, and I do know that much. So it's definitely interesting.
Wow. I didn't know it went that deep as far as like shrimp and...
No, you're not supposed to eat none of that stuff.
I just knew about pork, like main thing.
No, that stuff is on the same level, believe it or not. Like, you're not supposed to eat pork. You're not supposed to eat like lobster, shrimp, none of that stuff, crabs, none of that. Like, you're not supposed to eat none of that.
Wow,
it's considered unclean and it's unholy. You're not supposed to do it. I mean, from a religious viewpoint, but you know, everybody isn't religious, so people are going to do what they do. Even people that consider themselves religious, people won't do what they do. So,
yeah,
a lot of people feel like, well, you know, that was then, and when Jesus came, everything changed. And I mean, I just save that conversation for someone who has more knowledge on the Bible and can dive deeper into it. I would love to dive deeper into it. But I've had to really get more familiar with it and really obtain a certain amount of information to dive really deep. But I would love to like have a show about some biblical things. Like, I would love to do that. Like, you know, like a biblical type show. I would love to do it with like somebody like a. Oh, my goodness. Lizzie Nay?
Oh, my goodness.
I got
my apologies, everybody. Yes. My phone keeps acting up, and I recharged it, too.
You got disconnected, too?
Yeah, and I restarted it and all
that's crazy. I just got disconnected. You just got disconnected, too?
Oh, you did?
Yeah, I got disconnected.
Oh.
I don't think you got disconnected. Did you get disconnected?
Oh, I don't know. It may have been.
Hold up. Did you just call back the show? Did you call the show back?
Yeah.
So what happened? Did your phone say, like, drop call, or you just didn't hear anything anymore?
I just didn't hear anything.
No, that was me. I got disconnected. You didn't hear anything because I got disconnected. So you probably thought you were disconnected because you couldn't hear me. I'm the one that got disconnected. Like, literally my line beat and it got cut off.
Oh. I thought it was me. You know how yesterday it was.
I was hoping that you was going to say, you want to be like, oh, I'm sorry, people. Like, I'm going to just hold it down until we call back. Like, because... It just don't stop, Ms. Nay. This week has just been the week for us. This has been a real bizarre week for us, like, to say the least. And that's why I was saying I got to start using the house phone and me being hard-headed. Not using the house phone, and look what happened.
Uh-huh.
Holy freaking crap, man. So where were we? Where were we?
I don't even remember.
I was saying, like, I wouldn't mind having a show that, like, we dive into some biblical-type topics, you know, do some research, and have some people who are qualified to speak on those things, who are knowledgeable, you know. So, you know, for anybody that's listening, if you're, like, you know, a preacher, reverend, pastor, or you, like, just have knowledge on, you know, the Bible, and, you know, you would like to share your viewpoints and your experience with the Bible with us and get on air and have a discussion about it, definitely feel free. We are definitely open to anything, you know. We just open, like, you know, we definitely like to just dive into different things. And yeah, I think that'll be interesting, don't you, Nivina?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so, you know, we encourage people, you know, definitely, you know, keep up with us. Like, check us out on Facebook and Twitter, and you can email us, too. Definitely email us, and if you have a particular show that you know think would be good and you would like to be a guest caller, definitely, you know, if you think it's a good idea, we'll definitely... you know, we'll do it. We'll reach out to you. We'll respond. We'll make it happen. That's what we all for y'all, people. Like, we wouldn't do this if it wasn't for y'all. We didn't know if it wasn't for the people listening, we wouldn't do this. So this ain't about us running our mouths because we just like to hear ourselves talk. We want to share our
I know. I think
people.
That's
We're
how you
y'all.
Are.
We're for y'all. We for the people. Whatever y'all want to discuss, you know, we do the best we can coming up with different topics and discussions. But if y'all have any thoughts and anything that you think might be a good idea, feel free to reach out. Let us know. We always give out all our contact information at the end of the show. and reach out to us, and we'll make it happen. You know, not only will we use your idea, but we will definitely have you as a guest caller. It's no problem at all. So, back to the matter at hand. Life after death. Have you ever had any near-death experiences?
No. Well, no. What about
you?
You
never, like, almost got hit by... I've had a number. Like, I'm driving one day, and I'm with a friend, and I don't know where we were headed, but I know we were, like, we was on, like, this really, really awkward street. It was very awkward. Like, it was one of those streets that, like, meets at, like a fork. But it's, like, it's like... the right side of you, like, a car can, like, come from that way, but it's, like, a diagonal angle. So it's, like, you're coming from, like, let's say I'm coming from the left side, right? Then to the right side of me is a car coming on a complete opposite side, that same angle. And then another car can be coming headed towards our way from, like, to the left of me. Like, it's hard to picture what I'm saying based on how I'm saying it, but... just know that there are many angles facing one another. And so the only thing that was stopping the collision is like a stop sign. There's a big difference from a stop sign and a red light. Stop sign, people have to be aware of all of their surroundings and every possible angle before you go. And so I had never been at this particular area of town. So I went to go, like, I stopped at the stop sign. I didn't see any cars coming. So I started going. So a car's hit it dead on to me, but coming from an angle that I couldn't see it. And so my friend, he's like, you might want to watch out. He said it very calm, just like that. He's like, you might want to watch out. I looked like, oh, crap. I hurry up and slam the brake. That car was flying. It was going to be a head-on-head collision. And had I not slammed those brakes at the exact time that I did, we would have been tore up. I mean, we would have probably been... I could have seen us being critical, definitely. Definitely critical.
Wow.
It was going to be real bad. It was going to be like on the news and all of that. It was going to be horrible. Like, that car was flying. And head-on-head collision is always the worst. And I just feel like there was angels with us that day. Because I feel like, man, I just, for him to respond, you know, usually somebody panics like, oh, no, watch out. What are you doing? Watch out. You know, like that type stuff. And it wasn't that response. So for him to respond the way he did, and for me, I didn't think twice. Like, I didn't look and didn't hit the brakes. I hit the brakes as I was starting to look. I heard him say what he said, and my instinct was to automatically hit the brake and look. And as I'm observing our surrounding, I see the car coming dead on to us, but I slammed the brakes in just enough time to not get crushed. And that's not the only time that happened. Like, when you're a driver, you face possible near-death experiences all the time, and you're going to have some as a driver. And if you're a driver and you haven't had any, just keep your fingers crossed, because it's likely to happen at some point. And hopefully it doesn't end disastrous. You know, I've had a number of them. That's not the first. I had another situation where I'm driving, and I'm about to make this left turn, but it was really weird. It was like, it was like a freeway, like a highway or something. Not a highway, like a freeway or something. Like, I'm on a street, right, but to the left of me is like a wall. Now, that wall, cars can, that wall is like, it's not just a wall, it's like a street, but the side of you is blocked off by the wall, so you can't see where cars are coming. So I'm thinking cars are going the opposite way from like, I'm going down, so I'm thinking cars are coming up, like, coming, we go opposite directions where I can see them coming. I don't even realize, because I didn't, till this day, I don't know what happened, but I do not remember seeing a do not turn left sign. I don't remember seeing it. So if you don't see a don't turn left sign, then you're going to turn left. It was a green light. It was a green light. I didn't run a red light. It was a green light. I went to make a left turn. Oh, my goodness. I had my friend's sister was in the car. She had her kids in the car. Her kids was in the back. Me and his sister was in the front. And I made this left turn, right? all you heard was woof. The car passed so fast, you could literally, like, it literally rocked the whole car just to win. That car had to be going 70. And it, when I say it missed us by a few inches, it literally, if I would have slept, if I would have pushed on that gas one extra time, just one little tap, that would have been it. We would have got crushed. And once again, I just think that that was, so that's why I'm definitely spiritual. I believe in something. Like, I think angels have been with me a number of times, and I think that was one of those times. Because it just doesn't even logically even, I don't even understand how we didn't get crushed. I'm just grateful for it. Like, it was crazy. It happened so fast, you didn't even have, my brain didn't have enough time to understand what happened until it was already over. Like, the car had zoomed past us, and I'm like, what the heck was that? And I had to realize, like, oh, that was a car. Like, oh, my goodness, like, cars are coming this way, the same way I'm turning. Like, oh, no, like, wow. Like, now, picture if it would have been, like, multiple cars coming, and I just made an aggressive turn and didn't think twice about it. That would have been a wreck for us because we would have got sidelined. And two things you don't want to have, two collisions you don't want to have is head on, and hold on, what? Oh my goodness, Disney is gone? Holy freaking crap. Oh no. Wow, I was talking to myself that whole time. Nizzy Nay.
Yes.
And that was your phone that time.
Yes.
I don't know. We're going to have to rush into a house phone for you. I know we talked about this last night on last night's show, but this cannot continue to happen. Like, this is starting to just turn into a nightmare.
I know. I don't know what is going. Look, we done did all them shows with no problem. And all of a sudden, it's just like, it keeps happening.
I cannot have my co-host getting disconnected. I mean, I got disconnected, too. That was my first time. But you got disconnected multiple times last night. And
look, it is
you got disconnected
not
again
my
tonight.
Fault. It is
I'm
not my fault.
I'm not saying it's your fault. But we have to find a reliable source for you, a reliable phone source. This we're going to have to call Varnish or something. We're going to have to... You're going to have to get you wrong or something. This is not going to work. Like, this is crazy. This is turning into a disaster. Like, this is crazy. That whole time I'm sitting there talking, I just so happened to glance at the switchboard. And, oh, what do you know? Nizzy May got disconnected again. Holy freaking crap, man. What's the last thing you heard me say?
You was just, like, really just finishing up your story. Like, I couldn't really hear it at the very end. All I remember you saying is that you was, like, that close from smashing into something.
What? Smashing into
really...
something? Oh, my gosh. You just missed the whole thing. So, I explained two stories. You talking about the first story when I said my father was like, might want to watch out. And I looked and I was like, oh, crap. And I slapped
No, I already heard. I was talking about the second one.
The second story. When I said
yeah.
that it was like a wall. You heard the part about the wall, right?
Oh.
You heard the part about the wall, right? When I said there's a wall right there. But, you know, I couldn't tell that cars were coming the same way I was coming because the wall was right there. Like a highway, like a freeway type of thing. Where they're coming
oh.
from like a pool, like an expressway or something. And it's like, oh, you ain't hear that? Holy freaking crap, man. So I was talking to myself for a long time.
You was talking
oh,
to the viewers.
This is not good, man. This is not good, man. This is not good. This is not good at all. Like
calm
that
down.
Killed my whole spirit, man. I should kill my spirit, Nizzy Nay.
It wasn't my fault.
No, I know it's not your fault, but golly, like, I didn't even
oh,
know
well,
I was talking to myself
on,
all that time.
Brent.
My whole story is, like, irrelevant now because you didn't even hear it. Holy freaking crap, man.
Well,
what are we going to do about your phone? We got to do something.
We'll figure it out.
You got the stage, Nizzy, man. I need to get my thoughts together. You got the stage.
But I think I had a near-death experience. Like, me and my friend, okay? Yeah, this is, like, back in the day. I was a pothead. And...
Don't act like you're not still a pothead. Don't front for the listeners.
I'm not. But this is when we used to, like, smoke all the time. And we left, right before we left, we usually would go pick up her boyfriend from work because there was only one car. So, and he worked, like, a good 15, 20 minutes. So we was trying to, like, when we're high, like, well, we can make it in there, like, 10 for some reason. So we got high before we left. And we're going, and we're on the interstate, and we're flying, and then this little Civic blue car, it's very low because they used to race that little car. Like, they used to race this little blue Civic. It was all suited up, and they used to race it, so it sat very, very low. We kept hearing something scratching at the bottom, and then this car has a thing where it, like, stops, you know, and then you have to restart it. Like, it was going. It was about to be done. So usually when it happens and it stops, we're usually at a good, you know, a good location. But this time we was literally on the freaking interstate, and it
just
stopped.
Holy crap. So the car just gave out on the highway?
Yes.
Oh, man, that's amazing.
And we were freaking out. Do you know how many cars were just flying by us? Just flying. We're freaking out. We're sitting in the car screaming. Ah! And then I was like, just start the freaking car. Start the freaking. And we're, like, talking to the car and, like, rubbing the car. And, like, come on, let's start. And then so it eventually starts again. And then we're moving along, and then all of a sudden, it stops again at a freaking stoplight. Because it won't start no more. It's done. Like, literally, it's done. And then it starts, like a whole bunch of smoke starts coming up, and we're like, oh, my goodness. Like, I guess, like, the smoke was just so intense for us that it was making us super high. Like, we were just so drowsy, and we're just sitting there. We can't even move. Like, we had nowhere to go. We're sitting there at a stoplight, and her boyfriend didn't have a car. We were going to pick him up. And this was, like, 11, 12 o'clock at night. So we're just like, we don't know what to do. We're sitting there. We're high, and we're panicking. You know, being high makes you even more paranoid. You think you're seeing stuff, and people are going to come and get you, and you're at a freaking stoplight, and you don't know what to do. Well, eventually we ended up getting a call with his father, and he came out and rescued us. But that was freaky. Like, we could have almost died. Somebody could have just ran us over, because we was literally, like, right in the middle of, like, we were right on the interstate. You know, people don't care. They just fly by you.
That could have definitely been a near-death experience. Like, did any cars come close to, like, hitting y'all?
Yes, there was, you know, them tractor trailers.
What did y'all do? Like, did y'all leave the car and just run to the side of the road? Or, like, what did y'all do?
Yeah. I mean, eventually we got out.
Did it
put
down in the middle of the highway, or was y'all able to pull over?
Y'all were able to pull over
to the side of the highway?
And we couldn't even start it to pull it over. And then, of course, you know, we're going to try to get out and push it. But
I don't know. That car right there. Screw that. I'm not trying to be pushing no car. And this car's coming behind us, flying, hitting 70. Screw that's you calling the tow truck and keep it moving, I probably would have called 911 and the tow truck, because it got to be some order set on this highway. Somebody's going to get hurt really bad. Somebody hit that car, I mean, they're going to be tore up.
I know. And it was dark on top of that. It wasn't like it was broad daylight. It was dark.
You got to call 911 and that shit. Anybody listening, you ever in that situation, and Lizzie may just explain, I think personally you should call 911 and the tow truck, because you would need to, like, the police, somebody that can, like, actually shut down that part of the highway.
We was freaking, we was freaking high.
You don't want no cars just sitting there, like.
We was high. We was high, so we didn't want to call nobody, no police or anything. They're gonna tell that we was high. Like,
man,
we didn't want
that, man. People's safety is in jeopardy. You said it was nighttime too. That makes you look. You're talking to a driver, so I know what it's like. Like, you know, nighttime. I mean, you know. Some people only one headlight work. You're not supposed to drive on a highway and stuff like that. But people do make all types of irrational decisions. And, like, people, you know, like, some people's headlights are dim. I mean, a car sitting in the middle of the highway, yeah. You can't just leave it there. You got to do something. You got to make a call. You got to, shoot, at least call 311. At least.
Eventually we got to a point where it started to where we could move it to the side.
That's a crazy situation.
And then we tried to start it up again. Eventually it moved, but it wasn't going to make it back home. Like, there was no way that it was going to make it back home. That car was done. And it used to do that to us all the time. Like, every time we was in that car, it was like, it just did not like us. And it was only us, though. It was only us. Anytime that me and her was in that car, it was like, it wanted to install on us. Like, it just was done. It did not like us. And we called her Betty. That was her name.
Wow.
We named the car.
That's crazy. That's not as fun as you want to have. That reminds me of a similar situation, but we had just got off the highway. That was the difference. And it's me and it's a friend of mine's, his sister, not the one I was explaining on the last situation, but this is a recent situation. And I'm driving. She has like a suspended license or something, so I'm driving. I'm driving her mother's car. She had a mother's car. She needed to do something. So her license is messed up, and she had to, like, take a long ride, and she didn't want to take a risk. So I drove for her. And as we get back, and we just got off the highway, when I say just got off, it couldn't have been no more than 3 to 5 minutes at best that we were on the highway before this happened. So we turned to the McDonald's drive-through, and the car breaks down. We sit here wondering, like, what happened? It just cut off, literally cut off. Come to find out, we after scratching our heads and wondering, it wouldn't even start, so we couldn't read the gas tank or nothing. We ended up having to buy gas, a little gas can, and put gas in there, and it eventually started. It was a freaking headache. It was hot that day and everything, but come to find out, yeah, it was out of gas. And it cut off when it cut off, when it literally ran out of gas. I was driving. I had 5 minutes or longer left on that highway. That car would have cut off while I was driving. Now, when I was driving, right, it's not my car. I'm not, you know, I'm just doing a favor. So I didn't glance at the gas tank, you know. I know next time, regardless if I'm the driver or not, to glance at it. Like, if I'm the driver, I know to glance at the gas tank from now on. It wasn't my car. I was just trying to do a favor. I had no idea that we was going to take a 45-minute ride somewhere and back. Each way was 45 minutes. So you're talking about roughly a two-hour ride.
Wow.
And to go that far and not have the amount of gas that, you know, needs to the vehicle needs to have to make sure you can get there and back is, like, not the best decision to make. But, you know, things happen. People get wrapped up in time and other things on your mind. It can happen to anybody. But I'm just so thankful that car didn't shut off while we was on the highway at high speeds. Because who's to say that you won't be in a situation where somebody's to the right of you, somebody's to the left of you, you can't get over, you're sandwiched in and your car cut off and somebody's behind you. You know? So that's a scary, that's a very scary situation. And I'm just glad that, you know, we were able to get off the highway before that happened.
Yeah, y'all got lucky.
That really reminded me of that situation, though.
Yeah, y'all got lucky.
Yes,
but
we did.
I done ran out of gas, though. That's the worst.
Yeah, because the car is not going to start. Like, it wouldn't start. Like, me and my uncle ended up having to call my uncle when he came. He had to walk up there to where we were at. Luckily, we was in walking distance from his house. And, like, we had to push it. We tried to push it. And the car was, like, on a hill, so we couldn't really push it. It was crazy. It was crazy. A whole bunch of stuff happened that day. That was just one of those days where you just like, what in the world did I do to have a day like this? Like, it was crazy. Whew. And then I told you on one of our other shows how I got left. A near-death experience for me when I got left in the water that time when I was with my big cousins and I was young. Do you remember that? And I was telling you how I got left in the water and I was screaming for help. And out of nowhere, my uncle was like, hey, I'm right here. And I'm like, oh, man, really? I couldn't believe it. I thought I was dreaming. Like, really? Like, wow. Like, nobody could hear me. I was in the middle of nowhere in like a swamp. It was like I don't know, man. It was like a lake. But I was, like, far from destination, and I was scared. I was panicked. The water was, like, got real up real high to me. The water was, like, real high to the point that it was, like, close to my neck. I didn't know how to swim, and I was panicked. And luckily, my uncle, I guess my cousins had got back, and it was like, oh, yeah, well, where's Kate? We left him. What? You what? Where was he? Where are you at? I don't know. We were somewhere. And I guess when I was screaming for help, he just so happened to be in a place where he heard me, and he, I guess, ran down the hill and, like, reached his hand out in the water and pulled me out of it. It was crazy. So that was definitely another one. I don't know why, but I've had a number of near-death experiences, multiple ones by, you know, car, you know. Yeah, you know. Growing up in a bad neighborhood, I've been, I never was, you know, thankfully, I never was the one that the person was shooting at, but I have been caught in crossfire before. That's always a near-death experience because bullets don't have no name on them. So, there was another near-death experience on multiple occasions. I've had bullets fly in my house.
You did have a near-death experience when you was a little baby, though.
Well, yeah, that too, which I'm not going to get into in the air, but yeah, that too. So, I mean, a number of near-death experiences, a number of them. Like, I know I definitely had more than five. Definitely had more than five. Like, I had bullets literally fly through my house. Like, literally. Like, just come upstairs. Like, you hear pop, 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 pop. Come upstairs. Go and look. Bullet holes. Like, wow. Like, what if I'd have been standing right there? You know, like, have you ever had, see, you don't know nothing about that hood life. You don't know nothing about that, so you ain't had that experience, have you? You never had that experience, have you?
Huh?
I said, you never had that experience, have you?
No.
It's not a fun one, trust me. I mean, I've had bullets flying past me when I was outside hanging with my friends. Zoop, zoop, oh, crap, they shooting. Run, everybody run, ah! we had that experience. Bullets flying through the house, had that experience. I mean, so, man, when you go up in a rough city, a rough neighborhood, you're gonna face a near-death experience at some point. And then one of my friends had a near-death experience. That was like something out of Final Destination. He's walking about to cross the street, and he's looking one way, but the bus is coming the opposite way. So let's say he's crossing the street. He's looking right, but the bus is coming left. I seen him step and look the other way. All they gotta do is say, "Yo, watch out!" And I like grabbed him. He's like, "Oh," and like pulled him back. You know, and the bus just went past. Woof! Saved his life. He was about to get crushed. Like he was about to get canned. It was crazy. Like it was really something like out of a movie. Like he literally was looking the one way, and the bus is coming the other way.
Wow.
And so that was just, man, oh, man. Them near-death experiences ain't no joke, man. And it just leads you to wonder, like, what happens? Like, what would have happened?
But it makes you appreciate life a whole lot more.
Yeah, because at the end of the day, you can assume what you want. But the reality is, a reality that a lot of people don't want to face, some people do face it, a lot of people don't want to face it. You can only say, this is what I think, this is what I feel in my heart, and you don't know for sure. You can be very confident, but, you know, there's just not a way to know for sure. You can only feel what you feel in your heart. You know, I feel what I feel in my heart, but there's no way to 100% say what's going to happen. So you have to appreciate life because it's very fragile and it could be gone in a heartbeat.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't know what's going to happen. The only thing you can really do is hope for the best.
Right.
And just do your best to reserve life as long as possible and try to live long and prosperous. You know, that's pretty much all you can do, like. Because, I mean, let's face it, death is waiting for all of us. Death is like its own soul. Like, death is around us. Like, it's just watching, like, yeah, I'm going to get you. You might get away today, but I'll be back for you.
Don't be scared,
every day,
people.
Every day, death is lurking. I'm just keeping it real. I'm trying to scare them. Am I not keeping it real? Is that not keeping it real? Death stares you in the face every day. Is that not true?
I mean, that's true, but
yeah, every day. This is a harsh reality to face. The only thing promised in life is death. And the only thing you can really say is what happens after that. You know, what's going to happen? What is life after death?
Mm-hmm.
You know? Some people, the only thing that matters about life after death to them is the CD by the great, notorious B.I.G. Just being able to listen to the music. A lot of people just don't care. They don't care about life. They don't care about death. They don't care about what happens. They don't care about spirituality.
Felt.
Nothing. They just, I'm here. I'm a ride till the wheels fall off. I'm a just live ratchet, I'm going to bang my gun, I'm going to sell my drugs, or I'm going to do as many girls as possible, or females, she's going to do as many guys as possible. I'm just going to live and screw everything and everybody. Some people really feel that way. But people need to really have a reality check. You know, it's not no joke. You know, like, death is coming for all of us. It's not no joke. So you better take life serious and try to do something good and try to do what you can to reserve life, you know, because people want to run around thinking they're the baddest thing on the planet, and anybody can be touched. The great Tupac said that. You better slow down because you can be touched. That's what Tupac said, and it's true. So, I mean, you got to, you know, respect that, you know, and you got to just, you know, you should care, you know. I wonder what happens after death. I really do. I wonder. And I care about life enough to wonder because I know what's coming for me. You know?
Right.
I think it's a reality that people, a lot of people don't want to face it because it's really is scary. It is. It is. Because, I mean, if you really sit and think about it, it is. Because it's not something you have control over. That's why it's scary.
I wonder how
you don't know what's
Biggie felt. I wonder how like Biggie felt like when he knew. How did he feel knowing that somebody was kill him? Like it was how he felt, and that like
I think you
we've had
this,
years. Well, I mean, we have had like, huh?
I think your phone was breaking up. I was like going in and out.
Oh. Like, we've had near-death experiences, but he, like, literally, he knew. Like, he knew that he was going to die. Like, I wonder how a person feels, like somebody that has, like, cancer or something like that where they know they're going to die. Like, I just wonder how that feels.
You sound like somebody that has cancer, somebody that has an illness, or somebody that this cold they got 6 months to live, situations like that.
Yeah.
That has to be rock bottom. It has to be. It just don't get much worse than that. To know your clock is ticking. We're giving you 6 months to live. What? You're giving me what? Like, it's crazy. I was always felt like I'd rather not know. Like, if you can have a psychic tell you, I can't tell you how you're going to die because if I tell you, it's going to change everything, and I can't do that. That's beyond my power. Like, you know, that would be a violation. Like, I would be punished for that. Like, I can't tell you how, but I can tell you that what year you're going to die in. Would you take them serious, and would you want them to tell you? Ms. Renee? Did we lose Ms. Renee again? Holy crap, Ms. Renee?
Well, I already know that I'm going to have to use another phone when I'm doing the show, obviously.
Yeah, we might have to take some time off the show, Ms. Renee. We got to get this in order. This can't continue to happen. We might take some time off the show and get our situation in order. Well, you gotta get your situation in order. I got a house phone, shoot.
Oh, you're looking.
Your car was dropped three times.
Yeah.
I think one of those times you hung up, though. I think it got dropped twice because one of those times you thought that you got disconnected and I was the one that got disconnected.
Mm-hmm.
I did get disconnected, but you got disconnected two times already tonight, and we're not even done yet. This is crazy. But I was saying this, it's pretty much rock bottom to be told that, you know, you have X amount of time to live. And I was saying, if you had a psychic tell you, I can't tell you how you're going to die, but I can tell you what year. Would you take them serious, and would you want to know? That was my question for you.
I would want to know.
You would want to know what year you're going to die.
I don't know.
So
like,
you can sit there and worry yourself to death, like, oh,
right,
I got
like,
two more years
right.
left.
Like, I would want to know, but then again, I wouldn't want to know. Like, I would be curious, but then I would be scared at the same time. Like, I don't want to know, like, when I'm going to die. Like, I don't know. That's iffy. I wouldn't
and of
know,
course, they can't tell you because, you know, knock on wood, let's say if something like an accident is going to happen, like, you're going to be at the wrong time, at the wrong place at the wrong time and get hit by a car, knock on wood, right? They can't tell you because they tell you what day and all that. Of course, it changes it.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it can't be prevented. You just know. You don't know how, so you don't know what to not do to cause it, right? Unless you just start staying in your house, in the house for the rest of your life. I mean, but what if the way you're supposed to go is carbon monoxide poison? You know? So,
right.
I mean, you just don't. That's a crazy, crazy. That really reminds me of like Final Destination or something, trying to cheat death. Now, one thing's for sure, you can't cheat it. You can escape it, but it'll be bad. You cannot defeat death. The only thing guaranteed in life is death. So, life after death, some people don't care. Like, it's crazy to me. Like, some people really don't care. They don't care about anything. They don't care about anything other than the realm of the area they live in. Some people have never been past five blocks away from their house other than jail. Some people don't have any interest in seeing other parts of the world, other parts of the country. They don't care about what's in outer space. They don't care about what's in the sea. They don't care about what's in the wild. They don't care about other people, and they don't care about life. They don't care about what happens after life. They just don't care about anything, you know? It's sad, but it's true. Like, a lot of people don't care. And those are usually the people that live a ruthless, savage lifestyle. I'd encourage people to care and want to, like, you know, want to know, like, what's happening in the world and what will happen. Like, you know, like, it's something you should think about because it'll make you respect life. It will humble you. So I'm very humbled by that. Like, I want to know.
You do?
Like, you know, like, no, I'm just saying, I want to know in general. Like, I want to know things that are going on. I want to be aware. Like, I want to, you know. But, yeah, I mean, as far as, like, a life after death, yeah, heck yeah. I would love to know what happens. What, you want to know what happens?
Yeah. Yeah,
no, I don't
want to
know how I'm going to die because, I mean, I wouldn't want to know, like, what year I'm going to die or how or nothing like that. It's going to happen anyway. I don't want to drive myself crazy. I wouldn't be able to be happy. I would not be happy. It would be on my mind too much. But I would want to know what happens. What can I have to look forward to?
Right.
I mean, what if your body is just, like, floating out of space and you just, like, you just floating, like, you know, what if you just end up, it's just white. Everything is just whiteness, and you're just stuck in this place. It's just everywhere you go, everything looks the same. You can't. You look down, white. You look up, white. That's why everything is just white and it's just empty, hollow, echoey. Hello, 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 hello. Anybody there? Anybody there? Like that type of thing. Like the Twilight Zone. Like what if you're just stuck in like a dimension by yourself? Like it's just, you know, that's crazy. All types of, and I know these thoughts go through other people's minds too, like, what would happen, like, you know, like, just possibilities, you know. And that's the reason why I think that, you know, having religion is, like, one of the best things that could have happened because it gives hope. Like, without religion, think about that for a minute. Without religion, without hope that we can make it to a better place and it's peace and we can live forever, the thought of dying and being just like you never existed or eternal darkness is one of the most scary, horrifying thoughts ever other than hell. You feel me, Lizzie?
Yeah.
That's a scary thought to have. So, so religion allows you to say, okay, well, I have a reason to try to be good and positive. I'll be rewarded for good behavior, and I have something to look forward to past this life. I have motivation to be good, to do great things in life. Because I would be very depressed and know you go through all of this just to just be vanished forever, you know?
Yeah, that's
so
true.
It really is important. People criticize religion. Religion criticizes science. Science criticizes religion, and you have some people that don't agree with either. Some people, I don't know, it's crazy. But they're both very important. Science is important because you need to know things about life. You need to, you know, without science, there wouldn't be cures for illnesses. we wouldn't be able to find out what's happening with the earth and what's happening around us and understand nature. And, you know, we wouldn't, there's so many things we wouldn't understand. It's like, mm-hmm. you know, knock on wood, if a freaking asteroid is headed our way and there's a chance to deflect it and keep it from hitting us, you know, science is what would save the world in that situation. You know, that stuff is real. You know, you're talking to a person that's really heavy into science. That's not no sci-fi movie type stuff, you know. That stuff is real. That could really happen, you know. So you got to respect it because it's something that saves lives every day. And if it hasn't saved your life, it probably will at some point. That medication, all that stuff is science related. You got to respect science. And then you got to respect religion. Because without religion, this world would be horrible. Because people wouldn't have motivation. Some of the people that are good and righteous and holy people, they're motivated. They believe that the word that they read is correct. And they have something to look forward to. They're moving on from this life to something better, something everlasting. Just think about this, Nadine. Without that thought, imagine how many more horrible people it would be in this world. You know how many people have calmed down and changed their lives and given their life to Christ? Can you imagine without that thought how many horrible people would be in this world? How many people would not be motivated to do positive things?
That's true.
You see what I'm saying?
All the men in prison, too. Like, think about they didn't have nowhere to turn to. Because, you know, men in prison, you know, the only thing they really can turn to is some kind of God. And once they didn't have that, they'd be killing each other up in jail.
Yeah, a lot of people in jail, they find Christ or they find God and they devote their lives to it and they change their life around. I mean, people do it every day. It happens all over the world every day. And without that, if religion was not something that existed, it would just be all about, man, life sucks, man. We do all this just to die, and then nothing happens after that. So you know what? I'm going to just go all out. I'm going to rob banks, and I'm going to just do what I got to do to protect my family, do what I got to do to make sure we get by. Because you're going to die, and that's going to be it. So I'm going to live life ruthless. I'm going to have fun, and I'm going to do drive-bys. Who cares? I'm going to die anyway. I'm not rewarded for living a good life, so why should I? That's how people would look at it. Because some people look at it like that now. So without religion, they would really look at it like that. I'm going to die anyway. Nothing's going to happen after that. I hate this person. I'm going to kill him. What do I have to lose? Nothing. You feel what I'm saying? There's nothing to lose.
Oh.
I'm going to be in jail.
There's
a lot of
people I know like that.
Yeah, people think like that now. That's my whole thing. Imagine if it wasn't for religion. So you have to respect it for what it is. And people criticize it and say it's a way of controlling people. But it changed life. It changed life. Because without it, this life would be, you know, that Iraq-Afghanistan war, that would be everyday life. That's just how it would be. As many people wouldn't want to be police and wouldn't want to protect and serve. People wouldn't want to be firefighters. People wouldn't want to do this, do that. People wouldn't want to devote their lives to helping others just to die and be vanished forever.
Mm-hmm.
So my thing is, like, people should respect religion and science, both of them, should be less critical of it. And whatever you believe, but, you know, you should want to believe in something positive, a positive outcome from all of this, and that, you know, all this isn't for nothing. But regardless of what you believe, I don't think you should really criticize others for what they believe if it's something positive. Because why wouldn't you want to believe in something positive? As I stated last night, as long as you don't believe in something negative, like as long as you're not like, you don't worship something negative, something that stands for negativity, like, as long as you don't worship like a statue or
a person or stuff like that.
Yeah, as long as you don't worship anything that stands for negativity or idols or idolized things or people, as long as it's not nothing like that. Yeah, you're right. We got to definitely have a show about that. As long as you believe in something positive, I mean, you can't really, what can you say to somebody that's really They believe in whatever they believe in. And let's say that their God is a different name. You know? It's a different name, but it stands for the same thing. How can you, why would you, you know, what can you say bad about that? Like, I believe in something positive comes out of this life. And you're an atheist. Well, if you just decide to be an atheist, that's on you. But why would you criticize and be, like, upset with somebody for believing something positive? And the first thing they're going to say is, well, it's a way of controlling, and you're going to have other people and children growing up thinking that and selling them false hope and stuff. At least there's hope. What is life without hope? That's my argument. Like, what is life without hope?
Mm-hmm.
You know? So, and like I said, I'm not the most religious person in the world. Like, I'm spiritual, not religious. But at the same time, I understand the importance of religion and spirituality. It is important. It is crucial. You know, because something's going to happen. Whether, you know, you see this bright white light and then you ascend or you descend. You don't want to descend, you know. But I don't even know if that's a verb, but you don't want to go down. You want to go up, basically. You know?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that's pretty much what it is. Like, I want to ascend. That's what I'm saying. Like, I want to, you know, there's a possibility. It's possibilities are out there. And you're not going to really find out for sure until it's that time. So, the best thing you can do is brace yourself, try to be positive, and hopefully you will have a positive outcome. Your ending will end in a positive outcome. You know what I'm saying, Lizzie Nae?
Yeah. Because I don't want to see how atheists, like, I don't know. I just don't understand how they can't believe in anything, not to judge or anything. But, like just like you said, like, so where's your hope at? Like, we believe in God, so we hope to go to heaven one day to be in a peaceful place. So where are they planning to go? Where is their peaceful place that they hope to go one day? Like, I don't know. I just don't get that part.
I think I can't see that. I don't know if it's like different forms of atheists. I'm not 100% sure. I just know atheists don't believe in a higher power. So
yeah,
if you don't believe in a higher power, then what do you believe in? So
yeah.
I mean, like, what hope do they have? And, you know, the atheists that I've known of and that I've met, most of them are not very positive people. Most atheists are like, you know, like people that are like, just life sucks. A lot of atheists are people that like slit their wrist, cut their wrists, and, you know, take pills and just don't care about life. Like, they just do things that can, you know, hurt themselves, and they don't care as much about others. They're not as sincere. I'm not saying all of them. I'm not saying all of them. There's some atheists that are very down to earth people. But I think a lot of them don't really, they don't look at life the same way. They don't have nothing to look forward to, so they're not as motivated to live positive, to be positive. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So they just do what they do, and they don't feel like, the only thing they probably feel like, I don't want to spend the rest of my life in jail because that would suck, but not like, I don't want to be punished from a higher power. They don't look at it like that because they don't believe in the higher power to be punished by. You know? So they come at things from a different light. And sometimes that's what humbles you, not being punished in this life, but what being punished in the next life.
Yes.
That keeps a lot of people humble. A lot of people have probably thought about that before they did a drive-by, before they went and shot up at school because they was bullied or, you know, stuff like that. Some people have a conscience and think about these things and say, okay, you know what? I don't want to go to hell, or I don't want to be punished eternally for this, so I'm not going to do it.
I hear a lot of people say that.
Yeah, I mean, you always say about the people that did go through with it, but there are people that thought about it and didn't do it. And it either
right.
never came out, so you'll never know, or it's just not talked about, because the only thing that's talked about is the negative stuff. The people don't want to hear the positive stuff, so the person that saved someone's life isn't going to be the top story on the news, other than that guy that rescued those three girls. That was one of the most recent ones that was on the news, and was a high-profile case, but for the most part, negativity is adored in society. And people want to hear about the negative drama. People want to hear about people getting shot, killed, car accidents, and this happened to that person, and this family died from poison, and this person got bit by a lion, and that's like, you know, that stuff is the top story stuff. But, like, people don't want to hear about the positive stuff. The person that said, I had a bomb set, I was going to detonate it, but I changed my mind, and I'm fessing up to it. It was a horrible thought, but I didn't do it. I was going to go shoot this person and shoot the whole house up, but I didn't do it. I changed my mind. I found Christ, and I'm like, change prison now. Like, that's not the top story. Nobody wants to hear that, and I think that is ridiculous. But that's how it is in the world right now. You know, people want to hear negative stuff. And, like, why would you want to hear about positive things, encouraging, uplifting things? You know? And that's really crazy, but that's really how it is. I like to hear positive things. I want to know about the person that saved someone's life. You know? I want to hear about life being saved. You know? I want to hear about people giving another chance at life. I don't want to hear about people getting shot and killed all the time. And I think it's horrible that that's what's adored and that's what's talked about 24/7 around the world, around the internet and the media. You know, all that's talked about, negative stuff. You know? And so it puts people in a depression frame of mind. You hear negative, negative, negative. And people just think life is negative, the world is negative, because all you hear is negative stuff. Even the stuff you see on TV is negative. You know, even down to the reality shows, there's a bunch of drama, fighting, negative. It's all negative. There's nothing positive, like, you know? But if they start talking about positive things, if they put positive things on TV, and if the media start talking about positive things, then people are going to start picking up on positive things. And people
they ain't never
gonna
do that.
Positive attitudes towards life.
They ain't never gonna do that though, because as far as like the media, they know that like nobody's gonna like look at, watch the TV or read the news. If they're not put, it's sad. But if you don't put out anything negative, nobody's really gonna pay attention to it. Nobody's really. They're not gonna get their views on the internet or the TV, if they're not putting out, if they are putting out something positive. They want to see
but
all this
know,
negative and fighting and people killing and all that. That's what people want to see.
But you know what?
So,
I actually think that, I think that people will, like, pick up on it. I think it's not something that you could just, all right, you know what, tomorrow, all positive things, so from that point on, all positive, and people are going to buy into it instantly. I think it's a work in progress. You got to crawl before you walk and start doing it and just let it, allow it to happen more and more before you go and look. It's all about positive things. And I can guarantee you that, like, the crime rate would go down, everything. All this negative stuff would change. Like, I'm absolutely positive that it would. Like, it would, because if we start living a more positive lifestyle, you know, even down to movies, more positive movies come out, more good outcomes, positive outcomes, everything ain't about guns, explosions, everything ain't about serial killers, murderers, and rapists. Like, you know, everything ain't about child molesters, pedophiles, rapists, guns, war, explosion, like, everything ain't about that. Things start being about more positive things. If people look at life in a more positive way, slowly but surely, even, I mean, everything, video games, anything positive you can think of. If we start to be, we surrounded by negative things. Everything we surrounded by is negative, right? So if we start being surrounded by positive things, and we presented with positive things, we presented with that stuff, I mean, then I think life will start being more positive in many aspects. It'll start being more positive attitudes. People will respect life more. You know, people will become very humble, you know, very subtle. Like, you know, life can start to be like a breath of fresh air. The average conversation on a bus stop can be like, you know, oh, yeah, that was a great game the other night. Yeah, did you hear about the guy that saved the kids? You know, did you hear about this person that did this wonderful thing and paid for this person to go to college and all positive things? Not just, you know, like this person got shot, the whole family got murdered, people got butchered, started. She stabbed her husband in his sleep. More like, you know, she bought her husband a car, or he built his wife a house from the ground up. Like positive things, you know what I'm saying, Divina?
Yeah.
Like that could be
everyday
discussion. It could be, you know. And I think, you know, I think it is time for a change, because death is going to come. And, I mean, for this to be 2013, I mean, you look at where we're at, it's like, how much progress did we make? I mean, like, yeah, you know, we have, you know, we are blessed with great, outstanding technology. And, you know, you just got to give credit to every wise person on the planet, every engineer, every creator, every type of career there is that has created this and allowed this wonderful technology for us. You know, technology's came a long way. Definitely a blessing, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, where have we come for this to be 2013 and everything to be so negative? Everything is negative. Everything worth talking about out our mouths is negative. But it doesn't have to be that way. It doesn't, you know? I strongly feel that way. And I think it is time to make a change, because when that time comes, you know, my thing is this, like, we want to leave this planet to the next upcoming generation to have a good chance, a better chance than we had, you know, to be able to advance and move on with civilization and be able to do more great things and be together, less violence, no wars, you know. None of this negative stuff. You know, each generation can get better and better.
Right.
You know, to the point that life is like a fairy tale. You know, like, it's like, wow, this is amazing. Like, everything is positive. Like, decades ago, it was wars, and there was all this negativity. People were getting shot and stuff. And now it's just like, everything is cool. Violence is, like, down to an all-time low. People are living longer now. Like, the average person would live longer if life was more positive and thought about in a more positive way. People are taught how to sell drugs, how to shoot a gun, how to do negative things. You can be taught of positive things, things that reserve life, not end it, you know, not devastate it. You know, we can be taught these things.
Yeah.
We can teach the future generation these things, because they're the future. We can leave civilization in a better place, in a more positive light for the next ones up. And it can, the tradition can continue. Because what happened, we got into all this, negativity has existed since the beginning of time. But, I mean, look where we're at now. I mean, people actually cheer on, like, oh, we're going to go to war. We're going to go blow up another country. Ah, yeah, America. Really? Like, that's, like, you know, you understand for that? Like, you cheer that on, but you think, like you're... You think that by you doing that, like, you think that you're standing for something good and positive, you really feel like you're representing something positive. Really. You're cheering on war. Do you realize that innocent families and people get blown up? You think that only, like, negative people and people that want to see people hurt and dead, like, you think they're the only people that get harmed in war? Don't even get me started.
Right.
It's crazy. Like, why do anybody, I'll be thinking, like, why would anyone want to stand for, like, negative stuff like that? there's nothing positive. I'm like, you know, like, why would you want to stand for positive things?
I know, especially when we, like, we have all these children that are behind us. Why wouldn't you want something positive to come out for their lives? We need to get together and start doing some positive things for these other children, because these kids these days now, oh my goodness, it is ridiculous. I mean, now kids are bombing up schools and all that, and because of the way we are now, because of our generation, it's changing them.
Yeah,
it's okay to be negative. But that's why they act the way they do. And they got teens on YouTube fighting. And they think it's okay because they see our generation doing it, acting a fool. It's getting out of hand. It really, really is.
And
I don't want my kids acting like that.
I can definitely understand why, you know, like, it's really ridiculous. And we've done some great things. Like, our generation, you know, has done some great things, and there are some great, very, very popular people that's doing great things. But on the overall scale, have we really succeeded? Because it's about more than just, some people went to college and some people went and on to do great things. But you got to look at things as a whole. It ain't just about what you did for you and your family.
Mm-hmm.
Civilization matters as a whole, because the future isn't just about you and your family, but the next person in their family has an impact on your future generations, like, and so forth. Like, all of that stuff matters. So you got to look at it as a whole. You look at all this violence and negativity. Have we really made a lot of progress? Have we really succeeded in making the turnaround and making it a better place? There's wonderful things. There's all types of great government programs, ways to help people. You know, it's a blessing to grow up in America, to, like, not be poor, to not be starving, to have food and have sources to turn to and have help and have assistance and have support. All that stuff is great. But one main problem in America is all of the negativity, like all of the violence. And that's a problem in a lot of countries. But, you know, we call ourselves the greatest country in the world. Well, let's start acting like it. Let's clean up our act. Let's start standing for more positive things. Because one thing that's certain is death. That's the only thing that's certain in life is death.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to come. And, you know, once it comes, you look back on your life. What did you do? What did you do to make a difference? Like, what did you do to help change things? What does your impact do? If you just sat there and made a bunch of babies and didn't take care of them or torture them their whole life, yelling, fussing, cussing at them, whipping them, telling them, F you, mother effer, your little B, your own kids, like that type of stuff, you abused them. If you just hurted people, molested people, molested kids, and shot the block up and sold drugs, like if you just did that stuff, that's what your life was based on. You're 40 years old, still on the block, still trying to hustle to make a living, go in and out of jail. When you look back on your life, what did you really do? Are you really proud
right.
of yourself? What was your impact? What was your impact? Did you regret life? I'm sure those people that do that stuff do regret it when they look back on it. Some people don't have time to look back on it because their head is gone. You know, all it takes is the pull of a trigger, you know, which
mm-hmm.
is another thing that, you know, as far as, like, guns, people are like, well, we need guns because you got to be protected. You got to protect yourself because the world is a bad place and you got to protect yourself. Then you got to ask yourself this, what do guns really do? How much positive impact has guns had in our existence? How many lives have they ended? How many lives versus how many lives have they saved? I guarantee you the ratio isn't close. It ain't close. Like, is all negative. Like, a gun to me is death. It's just death in the palm of your hand. It just gives you the ability to easily end life. So I'm not, like, fond of that whole idea, you know, of just, you know, yeah, guns, yeah, America, guns. Yeah, like, what is positive about it? I mean, I think law enforcement should have it because there's so many horrible people out there. But what type of positive impact do they have on society? If you really
right.
think about it, you know? I mean, just having that option. Look at the Trayvon Martin situation. You know, the trial is going on right now. We're waiting to see what the results are going to be. And we will definitely do a show on that. But the fact of the matter, right, is he had not had a gun, Trayvon Martin probably would not be dead right now. I mean, he probably would have had a fight and would have eventually gotten broken up. But just because a person has the option to grab a gun and end life quick and easy. I mean, I understand that people need protection. I do think that, you know, with as much technology that's out right now, there would be a way to be able to restrain someone without killing. Oh, my goodness. Got disconnected again. Oh, my goodness. Wow, I apologize for that, people. Waiting for Nizzy May to call the show again. I don't know what happened. I got disconnected. I guess she got disconnected, too. She's not on here. I don't know if when I got disconnected. Okay, there we go. Nizzy May's back. Nizzy May, did you get disconnected?
No, I think that was you this time.
Because
my phone didn't hang up. I had a signal and everything. I think it was you.
No, it was me. Did you hang up or you never hung up? You stayed on the whole time.
I don't know what happened after that. I think she said goodbye.
Oh, it said goodbye and disconnected you?
Yeah.
I guess because, like, I'm the host. Like, it disconnected you automatically.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy. But I think we were definitely. I hate that because, like, you know, it takes off your train of thought. I was talking about how I feel about, like, guns and stuff, like, because that is very significant to life and death, because the pull of a trigger determines someone's life. So it's a lot of people that's like, I've had debates with people is like, yeah, guns are good. What are you talking about? We need it. Now, I want a gun because I want to protect me and my kids. Huh? Let somebody come up in here. I'm going to blow their head off, you know? So I've had those conversations with people. At the end of the day, what does it lead to? Casualties. You know, that's all it does.
Right.
So, you know, we actually have to have a show based on that. But it's very relevant to life after death, because a gun is going to lead to death. That's what it usually leads to, horrible injuries and death.
Mm-hmm.
I know a guy right now that's paralyzed from being shot. He was in the car trying to get away from the guy. Boom, boom, boom. Bullets went through the car, penetrated through the car, shot him in his, hit him in the spine, paralyzed for the rest of the life. That's what they bring. You got to ask yourself, like, is this, and this is, like, something you root for and you support? It's like, I be wondering, like, why people, like, why is their nature so violent? Like, why do you, like, people are, like, really, like, passionate, like, arguing with me about it. Like, what are you talking about? We eat guns. They trying to pass gun laws because they want to control us. They don't want us to have guns. They're going to take our guns away from us. I mean, look how many horrible people it is in the world. Look at what people are doing with these guns. Something got to be done. What about the guy that shot all those kids?
Right.
All those little kids. Did we forget about this? We're going to have to save it for another topic because I will get heavy into it. And the show is about to end. And, man, all these freaking technical difficulties, nigga, you know, this is crazy, man. We got to do something done about this. But I was really starting to enjoy it, you know. I know we would have really gotten to it earlier, but the technical difficulties really, really kind of put a dent in things. But it still wasn't as bad as it was last night, I don't think, because we were completely thrown off. The day we kind of expected it, we kind of, you know, once it happened, like, oh,
yeah.
Another, again, like, you know. But last night, we were just totally caught off guard. Like, it was crazy. Because we had never been disconnected from the show before.
Right.
And I know why. I told you I put the call block on so people can't interrupt me from talking on the show, right? Well, you know what I discovered, Nizzy May? Ever since I put that call blocking on, when people call me, I get disconnected. That's crazy,
right?
Wow. Every time my line beat, every time I got disconnected tonight, it was because my line beat. So, you know, you hear a little boom, you hear that little sound, and then goodbye. You know, just like, just disconnect you. Like, it just cut off. Actually, I don't even think it's say goodbye. I think it just, my phone just make that little noise when I hang up, and that's it. I'm disconnected.
Wow.
Then it's like, I want to, like, not be interrupted, because, you know, when the line beeps, you'll get interrupted from talking. And it get cut off.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought I was doing something by doing that, but apparently it's just making that worse, so. You know, but we're going to get all that fixed. We're going to start next week with 3 fresh shows. And as always, we enjoy talking, and that's pretty much what it is. We enjoy talking and letting you guys hear our opinions and viewpoints. And tonight is finally done. It's time to wrap it up. As always, I'd like to thank everyone for tuning in. And once again, you're listening to It's Real Talk Radio. I'm your host, K Real.
I'm your co-host, Nivy Nay.
Special thanks to all our callers and live listeners. You can catch us on Mondays, Tuesdays, and Thursdays at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time by dialing 347-838-9540.
Facebook us at It's Real Talk Radio. Follow us on Twitter at It's Real Radio MD, or you could just shoot us an email at itsrealtalkradio@yahoo.com.
Peace and love to everybody. Stay tuned for the next episode. Good night.
Everybody, good night.